ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
So we have just started the third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Bhrigavalli. An important story has been introduced here. This kind of story we did not get either in the first chapter or in the second chapter. But we have to understand there was a teacher and there were students and the teaching has been given. Only the mention has not been done. But there is a special reason why this story has been given. In this third section, Shankaracharya, as usual, gives a brilliant introduction to this third chapter called Bhrigavalli. He says, in the third chapter, Bhrigavalli deals only with some practical implications of the teaching which has already been given in the second chapter. We have to recollect. The first chapter is called Shikshavalli, where Shiksha means Shiksha. Shiksha means training, instruction, how to read the letters properly, like a small baby goes to nursery school. So there is a great benefit in learning things in the proper manner. So every language has got some vocabulary. Alphabet. English language has only 26 letters, but Sanskrit language, probably the highest, I don't know, 52 letters are there. That is why it is the most flexible language. Once a person knows Sanskrit, he would be able to learn any language quite quickly with proper pronunciation, intonation, etc. So the first chapter gives not only a training in how to pronounce the scriptures especially, but also there are so many preliminary upasanas, slowly, gradually, leading a person how we have to connect the entire universe. They are called upasana. What is an upasana? Slowly, the individual has to transform himself or herself into the universal. I am not this particular individual, but I am the entire universe. That is the purpose of any and every upasana. As I mentioned earlier, only in the earlier days, at the time of our rishis, when these Upanishads had become very popular, the type of gods and goddesses that we imagine today with anthropic qualities, human-like qualities, have not developed yet. They took the raw nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rains, the seasons, and they have all divided them into five categories. Space, air, fire, water, and earth. And that includes the entire creation, whether it is gross or subtle or causal. But we have lost many of the connections with the earlier upasanas but it doesn't really matter. In this very 19th century, Sri Ramakrishna, who is considered as an avatar of God, had adopted. So instead of worshipping Brahman, he had taken Mother Kali as a symbol of Brahman. And he contemplated and ultimately realized Kali is Kala. Kala is a time. Time is the very first creation. And that modified itself, manifested itself as this entire universe. So that is the hints Sri Ramakrishna gives. It doesn't matter. You choose how to think about God. And you have to have certain concept about God. So that these concepts do become instruments in progressing in spiritual life. We do require instruments. For example, if you want to become a musician, what is the most important instrument? Knowledge about the saptaswaras, seven notes that emanate from the bottom of the throat or sounding mechanism to the highest pitch that we can carry, each one of us. Sa, ri, ga, ma, pa, dha, ni, sa, aroha and avaroha. And then we have to, if you want to become a scientist, certain instruments are necessary. Keen sense of observation, collection of material, and think deeply about them. Then you gather certain ideas about them, and you test them. Are these ideas only my imaginations, or do they tally with facts? That is called hypothesis, experimentation, derivation of the result, and perfecting it, so that anybody who follows the same steps must get the same result. Only in that sense, Swami Vivekananda had said, religion, only in the sense of following these footsteps, of step by step, what the Guru teaches through the Guru-Sishya-Sampradaya, Shruti-Parampara. So, times have changed, the symbols have changed, but the process, the instruments have not changed. For example, even these rishis, they had body, they had mind. This universe that we experience was exactly the same universe they were also experiencing. Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala and Prithvi or Prithvi. Same. Nothing much has changed really, either in the thinking or in the experimentation. Only now we have got sophisticated instruments, but knowledge itself is precious. A rishi is one who discovers knowledge, and discovering by one person, he becomes the beneficiary, but it doesn't benefit anybody else. So just like a student sitting at the feet of a scientist, the teacher, will pass on his experience in the form of understandable language. He might even provide certain instruments. These are the instruments I have used. But you will have to follow the steps and then prove to yourself that it is a truth. Only when it is proved by each one of us does it become a truth. So just as we believe and the scientists declare this is the truth, and then others experiment trying to pull him down or to verify whether it is correct or not, and when they arrive at the same truth, then they will have to helplessly declare this scientific truth is proved, and anybody can prove it. And we have to apply the same thing in the realm of spirituality also. As I tell very often, a bit lightly, funnily, that Sri Ramakrishna ate very nice sweets. It doesn't benefit me. I have to procure the sweets. I have to eat them. Then only I know exactly what he felt like. So whether it be Brahman himself, or Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, or anybody else, Ramakrishna, Swamiji, Holy Mother, they can only say what is good for us and the way we have to proceed. They can point out the direction, give detailed instructions, but ultimately we have to experience it. Experience is the only proof of one's progress in spiritual life. And that experience is going to be outlined here graphically in the form of a story. So the first section called Shikshavalli tells us how to study the scriptures, how to pronounce the words, how to speak properly with sandhi and paricheda, etc. Then take one step further, how the whole universe, mother and father, teacher and student, etc. There is an unbreakable, invariable connection is there between the earth and water, between the waters and the fire, between the fire and the air, between the air and the space, etc., etc. So very scientifically they arrived. Be careful that when we say religion is science, it is not to be compared with a science, only in the sense it follows the spirit of the science. Each one of us have to experiment, or when many people experimented and found the same result, we have to develop Shraddha, deep faith, that so many people's lives have been converted. They are very, very happy people, blissful people now. How do we know? Because we ourselves can find them out if we are fortunate, and then find out if this man, not dependent upon any external instrument, is still so blissful compared to most people, even people who have many more things in their possessions. There must be something. There must be, if this is the effect, if happiness, bliss is the effect, there must be a cause. And what is the cause? A certain outlook on life. And that is called philosophy. What is philosophy? A certain outlook on life. But it is not dry intellectual philosophy. It is a fact arrived at through various spiritual experiments. That is what we have to keep in mind. So many upasanas have been taught there, preliminary upasanas. And we have to remember again and again, what is a upasana? Shedding selfishness, becoming more unselfish is upasana. Shedding our identity with our individuality and gradually identifying ourselves not with the part, but with the whole. That is called upasana. Ultimately, we should be able to say, I am God. That is the final identity with everything. The next point, we have to learn from the Upanishads, and in this Upanishad too, is that this world is mithya. And as soon as you hear that word mithya, and certain ideas pop up into your minds, the true meaning of mithya is, really speaking, just as a pot is nothing but clay with a particular name and form and utility, just as an ornament is nothing but gold alone with certain name, form and utility. That example, two examples are more than sufficient. Just like that, this world is nothing but Brahman with names, forms is called world. World without names and forms is called Brahman. This is the understanding we have to arrive at. So, what is mithya? To think that this world is not Brahman, that is called mithya. So, the mithyatva of the world is not outside. It is our understanding. I am repeating it because we all think a tree is real, a house is real, an animal is real, another human being is real. Everything that we see is real and it is outside and even if I don't see, it is real. It is true that everything is real only, but not as we think about it. A tree is not real. Brahman in the form of the tree, that is the real. An animal, Brahman in the form of an animal, Brahman in the form of a house, Brahman in the form of a river, Brahman in the form of a mountain, that is reality. What is mithya? Our understanding that this is not Brahman, this is different from Brahman, that is called mithya. And because it stems from our ignorance, and ignorance is that which comes and goes, so is the whole universe. It is a starting point, a staying point, and a disappearing point. We have to understand that. So, that is the purpose. And in the first chapter also, we have seen how to live a life, even if we want to be happy in the world without spirituality. There are certain ways: reverence, gratefulness, unselfishness, service to society, not deviating from certain moral rules and regulations. They have been extensively taught in the first chapter of this Taittiriya Upanishad. But the crux of the matter is put in the second chapter, which is called Brahmanandavalli, Brahmavalli, Anandavalli. The essence of that is everything is Brahman. And how do we know? Brahmavit apnoti param. One who realizes, I am Brahman. There is nobody else excepting Brahman. Brahman alone is real. He is the person who doesn't know what is death, what is ignorance, and he doesn't know what is called unhappiness. And in that context also, in the second chapter, what is our problem? Brahman appears to have slowly become manifested, and the grossest to manifestation is called Annamaya Kosha. And this grossest effect is derived from a slightly subtle cause, which is called Pranamaya Kosha, which in its turn is derived from its subtlest cause, which is called Manomaya, which is derived from Vijnanamaya, which is derived from Anandamaya. That Anandamaya itself is derived from Brahman himself. So, that has been taught so beautifully. And what is the benefit? It says that a person who knows I am Brahman, he becomes fearless, abhaya pratishta. And one who thinks I am not Brahman, I am separate Brahman, which means I am not Brahman, such a person is always experiencing only fear. Fear of life, fear of ignorance, fear of not getting what one wants, fear of losing what one already has. These are peculiar technical terms. Yoga means to get what we do not have. Kshema means to preserve what we have so that we do not lose. So a person becomes fearless. Not only that, there are, as we cultivate higher and higher knowledge, our mind becomes broader. Broader means less selfish. Less selfish means more identity with a larger whole. Until we succeed in identifying ourselves with the truth, which is Brahman. And such a person, he becomes fearless and he becomes free even while living Jivan Mukta. That has been beautifully expounded. So Ananda Mimamsa also we have seen. And what is the result? Such a person becomes fearless, because fear comes from the idea that there is somebody else besides me. Dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. And in this third chapter, practically an example has been given in the person by the name Bhrigu. And this Bhrigu, when we study this third chapter, is only the son of a great acharya called Varuna. Varuna was not only an intellectual acharya, he was a realizer of Brahman, Brahmagnani. And The story doesn't tell us. The story is actually not told at all, like in the Kathopanishad. So a little more detail is given, and we have seen in the 8th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad how the story of Virochana, Indra and Prajapati so graphically described throughout. But here, very briefly, there was a person called Varuna. He was a householder, which proves householders also can be knowers of Brahman, and he had a son. He was called Bhrigu. This Bhrigu is a very famous rishi. Bhrigu Maharshi is one of the Saptarishis, of the seven rishis. Bhrigu Maharshi has been praised by Bhagavan himself. Maharshi Naam Bhriguraham. I am Bhrigu among the Maharshis. So this Bhrigu Maharshi, this Bhrigu, he became a Maharshi by obtaining the instructions from another teacher. The emphasis of this story is very simple. Do not try to obtain Brahmagnanam by yourself. You require a guru. Remember, once somebody asked Ramana Maharshi, and he did not have any gurus, and somebody raised the topic and asked him, so I can also, you did not have any guru, and Ramana Maharshi has given a beautiful reply. How do you know I did not have a guru in my earlier lives? That means I had a guru. Guru had given me instructions. I followed them, and I was about to get the knowledge of Brahman. But the body, because of some prarabdha, had come to an end. And in this life, very early, even only when I was 16 or 17, I obtained this knowledge. So Ramana Maharshi said, I did have gurus, may not be in this life. Sri Ramakrishna had practiced sadhanas twice. First, without any guru, without the help of any scripture, God in the form of Mother Kali, Divine Mother, as the sole guide. And he declared categorically, Mother taught me everything. Mother has given me everything, including a so-called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which later on, all the Guru Parampara, beginning with Bhairavi Brahmani, Totapuri, Govinda Singh, etc., they only taught me what Mother had already given me. Now the question that comes is, why did Sri Ramakrishna need? Because if Sri Ramakrishna had not had second sadhana, we also would have, like this devotee of Ramana Maharshi, Sri Ramakrishna did not have any guru. So most people would go astray. How many people have the capacity to have that power of intuition? Swami Sharadananji writes in his beautiful Lila Prasanga, the great master, Sri Ramakrishna, from his intuitive mind, came out certain sadhanas. We have not seen anybody practicing it. I have not read about it. He used to take a lump of clod and a rupee coin and say, Mati taka, taka mati. There is no difference as far as man's happiness is concerned. In fact, I would go in three aspects. This mati and taka, they have no influence at all. Even if somebody, what are those three? First of all, where I am going to be born? Because by the time I obtain this taka mati, taka, I am already born, jati. Then, a taka doesn't have anything to do. How long a person is going to live? This is called ayu. A rich man, rich baby may die. Rich old man may die. Poor baby may die. Poor old man also may die. There is no exception to it. Nothing can save us. Only prarabdha, purva janma karma phala. Then we have the third one, sukha dukha. This is a point most of us miss. That we think a person who has got possessions, he will become happier. No, a person who has got a worrying mind will be worrying under what we call air conditioned room, and a poor man will be worrying in a non-air conditioned, suffering from heat or mosquitoes, etc. The worrying is the equal. The outer circumstances do not make. Sukha dukha do not depend upon any external possessions or lack of possessions. It depends totally upon one's thought, samskara, mind, in other words. That is why it is said beautifully, manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Mind alone is the root cause of both bondage as well as liberation, happiness, unhappiness, good and evil. Every imaginable duality is originating from the mind only. There is nothing else. So, this is the point we have to understand. So, practically, one has to go to the guru, and if we are earnest, we will get a right teacher. There is also a relationship here. A right student will get a right teacher. A bad student always gets only a bad teacher. But obtaining a teacher doesn't automatically give us the experience. But a good teacher can influence us. Anybody can influence us. A good book, a good person, a good environment can influence us. But how we are using that influence, whether we want to progress in life or not, that doesn't depend upon any of these things. We have to be crystal clear about these ideas. So, the story is that one has to approach a guru. And how to approach a guru? We will see all those things. So, what is the important point? Parisamapta cha Brahma Vidya, Shankaracharya tells in his commentary, Brahma Vidya has been taught, but atah param Brahma Vidya sadhanam tapaha vaktavyam. What is the way to realize that I am Brahman? Brahma Vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Brahma Vidya means knowledge of Brahman. Sadhanam. What is the most important instrument to know that I am Brahman? And then Shankara abridges the very essence of it. Tapaha vaktavyam. Tapas. Austerity has to be explained or elaborated. Now, what is this tapaha? Usually, our idea is he is a graced, austere person. That means he eats very little. His needs are very few. He lives very simple life. That doesn't make a person. Of course, it's very economical also. Very interesting. Somebody has written a book, Why Monasteries Become Very Soon Very Rich. And then he went and studied several monasteries. And then he came on, he outlined, these monks, they receive from devotees quite good amount of donations, etc. But that is their income. What is their expenditure? Same cloth he may be using for 20 years. Same food. There is no luxurious food. Maybe occasionally they will have a small break, but they don't spend much. So the needs which worldly people spend a lot of money, these monks spend very little. Naturally, the income is greater than the expenses. And therefore, there is no doubt they become very rich. And that very richness can also become a cause of downfall, or it can become a cause of great social service. It all depends upon the individuals. By the way, if you do not remember, there is a marvelous book about this very subject. It is called The Book of Mirdad, M-I-R-D-A-D. It is almost like a story in the form of poetry. So beautiful, so easy to read, but with profound spiritual ideas. The Book of Mirdad. Find out, and I recommend you read it. How monasteries do prosper, how monasteries also can degrade when selfishness enters into it. That is the summary of this particular book. So Shankaracharya tells it that Brahma Vidya Sadhanam Tapaha. Austerity means hard living or simple living. But what is simple living? Poor people also are enforced to live simply, not because they chose it, but because they are forced. But it doesn't make them great tapasvis. What is tapasya? Deep thinking. Knowledge doesn't come by the number of books one have, by the number of beautiful table lamps one have, the number of sofa sets one have. It comes only from a keen mind, ready to concentrate until I understand. Understanding means making the knowledge one's own. And the only means is full Shraddha, full concentration, prayer to the God that may, O Mother, bestow upon me the understanding of this one. This is called tapaha. But tapa has austerity or deep thinking has to be done. And if it has to be done, certain things are necessary. We have been given this beautiful body consisting of 5 sense organs of action, 5 sense organs of knowledge, what I call input, 5 doors of input, 5 instruments of output, and of course the mind, which collaborates all the knowledge that comes, makes it one understandable whole, sets a particular goal. This is what I want to achieve, and commands the body and mind to do it, go on doing it. So, body and mind should be absolute. In other words, body and mind, in the light of what we had studied so far, should be understood in the form of panchakoshas. So, panchakoshas have to be cleaned, purified, and we must remember what is the relationship between one kosha and the other kosha. They are all totally interrelated. And in the form of these panchakoshas, always our journey will be like an uphill climbing. So, you know, those who mountain climbers about whom we hear, who conquered even climbing to the Mount Everest, etc. They set up a base camp, then at a higher altitude, another camp, until they become acclimatized. They won't move from the lower camp to the higher camp. So gradually, in the same way, first we have to set up the base camp, which is called Annamaya Kosha. And from there we have to set up the Pranamaya Kosha. And we must become acclimatized. And then we have to become another camp called Manomaya Kosha. Another called Vijnanamaya Kosha. Another is called Anandamaya Kosha. These are but only camps. But the final destination is beyond even this 5th camp. And that is where we go even beyond this Anandamaya Kosha. So that is what the teacher in this 3rd chapter called Bhrigavalli wants to tell us. So what did we see? That we have seen, first of all, a real example graphically given. We do not know, history is lost for us, whether this Bhrigu Maharshi that we know as one among the Saptarshis or the Bhrigu Maharshi who is known in the Puranas, whether it is the same, it doesn't really matter. The essence of this 3rd chapter is that if we want the highest or if we want even the lowest also, which is higher than where we are, we have to approach a proper instructor, sit at his feet humbly and have faith in him and try to learn and practice it. This is what Swami Brahmanandaji wanted to convey to us. Even if you wish to become a good pickpocket, you will have to have a skillful pickpocket as your guru, not to speak of this Brahma Sakshatkara. So, the teaching is over, but now emphasis is, the Upanishad wants to emphasize on tapasya. Tapasya means vichara. Vichara means deep thinking. Until, what is deep thinking? Until we make that instruction our day-to-day experience. Anything that we experience once, that becomes ours permanently. One need not have experience all the time. If anybody had tasted sugar once, he knows what sweetness is. Whole life, janma janmantara in fact. But the same sweetness can come in different formations. That is a different issue. But he knows what is a sweet. So like that, we must know the final knowledge. What is it? The very ultimate knowledge is called Brahma Vidya. Knowledge. What is the knowledge? That there is a Brahman sitting there and he is infinite. He is eternal. He is one without a second. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam Brahma. That is not Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is I am Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam Brahma. Otherwise anybody can read Brahman is Brahma Lakshana. Anybody who reads the second chapter of this Taittiriya Upanishad knows without doubt Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. But it doesn't make any difference. But to make any difference, we have to do a practice. That's why Swami Vivekananda called it practical Vedanta. So there are not only that, to make ourselves progress in spiritual life, we will have to practice several upasanas are there. In today's class, I am going only to give a hint. What is the first hint? That tapasya is the very essence of this Bhrigavalli. Because Bhrigu obtained everything. So, when he approached his guru, not his father, he approached his father, not as father, but as the greatest teacher of Brahma Vidya. And in the proper manner he approached. This is all implied in this story, which we will discuss. So, but for any vidya, we require tapas. You want to become a scientist? Tapasya means deep thinking is the only way. You want to become a great cook? Tapasya is the only way. You want to become a good driver? Tapasya is the only way. And a good driver is a good example. Because in India, if anybody can pass driving tests successfully in great cities like especially Varanasi and doesn't meet any accident, etc., at least not from his part, then he can pass driving test anywhere in this world. This is the greatest testing ground for all would-be drivers forever. I hope so. So what is the tapasya, the topic? To learn anything, even you want to be pickpocket, deep thinking. And deep thinking also concentration. Concentration also alertness. If a pickpocket is not alert, that the police is watching from behind, he will be caught on the very first step itself. So, for Brahma Vidya, it is needless to say, tapasya is needed. That is why it is called Jnanamayam Tapaha. What is tapasya? Obtaining the right knowledge. And why do I use the word right knowledge? Because it can apply to any department. Doesn't matter. And then there are certain beautiful upasanas are there. And one of the upasanas is Anna Upasana. Upasana of the food. Because earlier we have seen Annam Brahmeti. Anna is to be considered as Virat, Brahman. So that's why in our day-to-day life, so our very sustenance, Anna means here what? Anna means food which sustains our body. Then only the body will get prana or energy. Then only we are able to think. Then only we are able to act. Then only we are able to achieve something. Then only we are able to experience something. For all this, this body called Brahmapuri is the greatest instrument. But for this body to be healthy at its peak of usefulness. Then, what is the anna? Anna means food. So, for the physical body, physical food. For the five sense organs, a good form, a good smell, fragrance, a good taste, a good sound, a good touch. And in fact, whole life is spent by scientists or anybody only to fulfill these conditions, how I can be happier. But we have to extend this idea and say not only the body, most important is how do I cope in life? First thing in life that we understand is life is very uncertain. What's going to happen next second? Nobody knows. Mother Sita was happily sitting in her palace. She was extremely happy. My beloved Rama, my husband, is here. But then Rama, interesting, he also was using spice to find out what others are thinking about him, whether somebody is rebelling. Every Raja, every king has to do that. And then the spy, truthful person, came and truthfully reported that this Rama, his wife had stayed with Ravana for 1 year. Nobody knows what happened there. I would not have allowed my wife to return to me. Some such remark he passed. And Rama became very sad. He knew the character. How did he know? Because he tested Sita through Agni Pariksha. But he was a king. So he can, if people think like that, it is not one particular person. There would be many followers of that kind of particular person. So Rama knew I had to give up. So he called Lakshmana and said, I cannot keep Sita. As if a most terrible thunderbolt had suddenly fallen on the head of the Lakshmana. He knows, who knows better than Lakshmana, the character of Mother Sita. So, he could not do anything. All this happened in the twinkling of a second. Who is going to know what is going to happen? That is why we have to be extremely careful. So, anna means that which sustains. So, what sustains the body is anna. What sustains the mind is anna. What sustains a scientist is anna. What sustains a musician is anna for him. What sustains a spiritual person is an artist. That is anna for him. So, therefore, here indirectly it is still your body, your mind are the only available instruments for you. So, you will have to use them in the proper way. So, like annam na nindyat, never criticize food. Never say it is tasteless. If it is suitable, healthy food, doesn't matter. You offer it to God and as prasadam, you take it. That is a most wonderful thing. Annam na parichakshita. So, never throw out food. So, if somebody is serving you, you don't go on saying, give me more, give me more. No, you can't take it. Otherwise, even if you take it forcefully, even if you enjoy it and take it, your body, whatever is not required, will throw it out. So, never waste food. And how much food is wasted? And not only that, people go on criticizing food, giving it very bad names, etc. In the Upanishad, we are told these are very bad habits. Not only that, you must grow more and more. Annam bahukurvita. You must go on increasing the food. Why? There is wonderful relationship. If anybody comes to it, and this is a subject which I would like to speak in the next class, the next war will be for food and other things. Already this war, the present war that is going on, is all about oil. Oil is the main ingredient for what? For transportation, for running machines, for running electricity, etc. And what do these electricity, etc. do? They manufacture anna. Anna means the instruments for our body, five sense organs, to enjoy themselves. Otherwise, life is meaningless. So, this electricity is needed, energy is needed, is a fight about energy. Then the next fight very soon will be the lack of drinkable water. Without jala we cannot survive. So food is one, land is one, water is one, and right, clean, unpolluted atmosphere is another one. And if any place is found like that, the evil people will not hesitate to suppress them, to kill them, to bomb them, so that they will be the masters of all these things. So, annam bahu kurvita, go on multiplying the food, so that you can not only you enjoy, you also distribute. And if you distribute, you will get food. These are marvelous ideas that we are going to discuss. And then the whole universe is a holistic universe. So the eater and the eaten, and the prana, and the water, and the akasha, and vidyut, these are called related or what is called holistically interconnected things. You will have to contemplate upon them as upasanas. It is happening. It is a fact of life. The Upanishad is only trying to pointing out to us. These are some of the subjects which I will discuss in the next introduction to this third chapter. And then it would be easier for us to understand in the light of these hints that we are talking about. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.